Mishle Yomis for Friday, the 17th day of El Tavshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Baba Metzia, Perek Rishon, Mishnah Ches. Previously we learned about finding documents, loan documents, that were worried maybe they were paid. Maybe the borrower and the lender are making conspiracy against the people who bought land from them or property from the borrower. And we talked about how you have to be careful with these shtaris. You can't just return them back. But now we're going to talk about different type of shtaris. These are shtaris of Beis Din. These are documents that are prepared, signed and sealed by the court, by the Beis Din. Now here, we don't have to worry that maybe after they've been written, the Beis Din changed their mind not to give them. No, we don't say that. We say this you can give back quite comfortably, with no problem. Our Mishnah is going to also tell us that if you find something strange, in a shtar, and has a simon in it or a certain peculiarity about it, then you can give it to the person who states the simon, who gives the sign. Mishnah Ches, Motze Igros Shum, a person who finds documents of valuation. These are documents where the Beis Din wrote for the lender, and we hereby declare that we valued the properties of the borrower, X amount of dollars, X amount, and we've hereby give it to the lender for payment of his debt. Igros Mozon, these are documents where Beis Din write for a woman that her husband has taken upon himself. We hereby declare this: her husband has taken upon himself to sustain, to maintain her daughter from her earlier husband. That means it's his stepdaughter. Other explanations say that it's a shtar based in right for selling the properties of the husband to supply mezonos, to supply maintenance for the wife and the kids. Now, it's interesting that the Mishnah doesn't use the word shtar. It uses the word igros, letters. And for this reason, there is yet another opinion, and that is Tosfos, who learns that these are not the actual letters, these are not the actual documents that declare what Beis Din have already done. Rather, these are letters that Beis Din in a certain place have written to send to a Beis Din in another place, telling them that they should value the properties of the borrower, or they should put down a price how much their wife and her daughters have to get. That's why the Mishnah uses the word igros, letters, rather than shtoris. That's how Tosfos learns Pshat. Shtori Chalitza, another document. This is a document where Beis Din write for the widow of a man who's got a surviving brother who didn't want to marry her, and gives a chalitza. So they write down that we hereby declare that this woman has done chalitza in front of them. Umeyunin, or a shtar mian. Shtar mian means a shtar that witnesses, that documents a refusal. What's this refusal? It's a girl who is an orphan and was married off by her mother or brother. This marriage is only with Rabbanon, and she can get out of it. She doesn't even need to get out of it because she's not yet bas mitzvah. She's a ketana. She simply says, I don't want him. That's it. Walks out. And that's good enough. And Beis Din would write a shtar mion as a proof that she has done this. And she's free now to marry someone else, or free just to enjoy life. She doesn't need anything more than a mion. And the Beis Din would record it in the write a shtar mion. Ushtori birurin. Shtar birurin means documents of choice. These are documents in which the two litigants have come to court, and they have agreed to, each one has taken upon himself to choose their own judge, and they've also agreed that we will abide by the decision of the court. What happens is one party chooses his judge, the other party chooses his judge, and the two judges together choose a third judge to form a Beis Din. That's the fairest way of making a Beis Din. V'chol ma'aseh Beis Din, and any document that's been written through a Beis Din. For example, a shtar chalata. What's a shtar chalata? That's a shtar, a document in which they write for a lender that the properties of the borrower have been given to him to collect his debt when the borrower is not around. Or another type of shtar could be included in this maaser beis din, a shtar adrachta. Shtar adrachta is where they write for a lender that when they couldn't find any properties by the borrower, they say, you hereby are authorized, you the lender are authorized to collect and go around the properties of the borrower to find anything you can to collect your debt with. This authority is the shtar adrachta, and it's a shtar in which they write that this has happened. All these cases, harzei yachzir, all these shtaris and documents, you can give it back to the one who it was written for. There's no chshash, there's no worry about giving it back. Beis din would have done what they've written in that document. We trust the Beis din would have done that, and therefore there's no problem. Continues the Mishnah. Motza, if a person finds documents, loan documents or a get or whatever, bechafisa, in a sack, or biluskema, or in a bag, or tachrich kol shoshtaras, he finds that documents which have been bound up with each other, wound around each other, or yaguda shoshtaras, or a bunch of shtaras or documents. All these cases, there is a possibility of the owner to give a simon. The number of shtaras, or the way in which it was bound, any simonim about what type of bag it was, harizei yachzir. And then you can give the shtaris to someone who gives the siman for it. When we say that we're talking about a bunch of shtaris that can be given to the person who gives a siman, that's only if it's three or more. Anything under three, if it's, let's say, two, well, that's not really a siman, because when the person who announces it says, I found shtaris, the minimum of anything in plural is two. So that would be your first guess. If there was only two shtaras, that's not a siman. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Echad haloive mishloisha, a person who finds three documents, and in each one of them there is the same borrower but three different lenders. Yachzir laloive, give those documents to the borrower, because for sure it fell from him. Otherwise, how would you get three shtaras from three different lenders in one place? Makes sense that it's the borrower, and you have to give it back to him. However, this is only if the shtaris have been mekuyim in Beis Din, have been confirmed in Beis Din. If they're not confirmed, then you give it to whoever offers the siman. Because there's a worry, there is a possibility that perhaps the lenders gave their shtaris to a sofer, to the scribe of Dayanim, to give it the official stamp of a confirmation of approval, and maybe they fell from the hands of the sofer. Whereas if the shtaris were already mekuyim, were already confirmed and given the authority of the stamp, we're not worried that maybe they would have fallen from the hands of the sofer after he was mekuyim them, because people don't keep a shtar mekuyim in the hand of the sofer. You take it straight away from the sofer once it's been confirmed. Continues the Mishnah, but what happens, shlosha halovin me'echad? What happens if it's the other way around? You have three different borrowers, and there was only one lender, and all three shtaris have the one lender on it, the same lender. Yachzil malda, says the Mishnah, you give it back to the lender, because since they're found together, it stands to reason that they fell from the lender. If, however, all three documents had the same handwriting of one sofer, then there is a possibility that they fall from the hand of the sofer, and therefore, again, you would give it only to the one who gives the siman. Motza shtar ben shtaris, a person who finds a document, a shtar among his shtaris, a loan document, and he doesn't know, ben yodei mativoi, he can't remember, he doesn't know, how did I get this? Did the borrower give it to me? Did the lender give it to me? Or maybe it's partly paid and they both gave it to me, so I should be entrusted with me until it's completely paid. Well, because of these doubts, yehei munach ad shevaliyah, it should stay with him, and you should not give it to either the borrower or the lender, because we don't know if it's been paid, and then you would give it to the borrower, or it hasn't been paid, give it to the lender. Keep it with you until the Yahu comes. Or until the matter will be settled. If, however, now the Gemara explains this is not a continuation of the previous case. This is referring to another case where a person finds among his shtaros, among his documents, loan documents, he finds a receipt that one of his shtaros has been paid, he finds simpoin. Simpoin is his receipt. He should do and carry out, follow whatever that receipt says. If the shtar, that i.e., if it says that the document's paid, that this loan's been paid, then he has to assume that the shtar with which it was found was paid. Now, even though you would expect a receipt to be in the hands of the loiver, not the malva, in the hands of the borrower, what's it doing with me, the lender? Nevertheless, we say that perhaps the lender had entrusted, the borrower had entrusted the lender to keep that receipt until he comes back tomorrow, the next day, and gets it. In the meantime, he forgot about picking up the receipt. Nevertheless, the Gemara does say that this din is only if that shtar, that loan document that had a receipt against it, was found amongst other documents, other loan documents, which were paid, which were ripped up. And our Mishnah wants to tell us that even though that this particular loan document has not been torn, nevertheless, because it's got a receipt next to it, we assume that it has been paid. Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. There is a halacha of Ashavas Aveda, returning a lost article. However, if a person finds something that has no simonim on it, then we say that the owners probably gave up hope of ever recovering it, and whoever finds it can keep it. It's basically hafka. He's oichen it from hafka. However, there is a machlokes between Abai and Rava as to whether the person actually has already known that he lost it and then gave up hope consciously, which we call Yush Midas, or even if it didn't know about it, will we apply the following principle that Yush Shaloi Midas, that even if he actually didn't know about the loss yet, but we can assume safely that had he known about the loss, he would have definitely given up hope of ever recovering it. Do we say that that is enough to be considered Yush, and one who finds it can keep it or not? Rava says, yes, it's good enough. Abai says no. Abai says Yush Lamidas is not Yush, and therefore if a person finds it, but the owner has not yet known about the loss, even if he would have given up hope for sure, even if he knew about the loss, doesn't matter. It's not called Yush, and the person who finds it can't keep it. And the halacha is indeed like Abai, that Yush Lamidas is not Yush. And therefore, we will learn our Mishnah in this way, that a person who finds a lost article can only keep it if two conditions are met. Number one, that there's no simon. There's no particular sign that can be an identification. And number two, it's something that a person would feel pretty quickly that he's lost it, and therefore he would have given up hope. Yush would have been midas, would have known about it. And let's have a look at the Mishnah. There are certain things that a person has to announce, and certain things you don't have to announce, you can keep it. Let's first start with Elu Mitzius Shaloi. These are the things that you find you can keep, the Elu Chayv L'Hachriz, and these are the things that you have to announce. Elu Mitzius Shaloi. What are the things that you can find that you keep? There's no simon, and the owners knew about the loss, and we can assume safely that they would have given up hope of recovery. They have a din like hefker, and therefore the one who finds them can keep them. Motza peres mefuzorin. If a person finds fruits that are scattered, they probably fell because they were heavy in a bag, and they're scattered everywhere. And there's no simon on these fruits, so we say that the owner would have said to himself, "No, I'm not going to find them again." Mois mefuzoris. If a person has there was cash all spread out. Now, again, people usually tend to, you look at your purse and see what's in there, you spend the money with it, and we say that it's almost sure that the owners would have known about it, that they lost the money, and losing money is something that you don't have a hope of recovery. There's no simon on cash on money. So there's, again, assumed that the owners would have had yush, would have given up hope of finding it. Krichos bishul sarabim, little bundles of grain that are found in the shul sarabim. Again, there are no simon on them, The place that they are is not a simin because they roll around from place to place, kicked by people or animals. And we're talking about here that there's no other simin. There's no other simin. Others say that even if there was a simin, it wouldn't be good because people would tread upon it. But let's assume here, the halacha is that a simin, that if even if it would have been trodden upon, it's still considered a simin. So let's learn in our Mishnah that the Gemara learns in our Mishnah that there was no simin, no other simin. Bigulei dvela, cakes, round cakes of pressed figs. Again, very standard, no particular identification because they're all mass produced like this. Kikoros shel nachta, or there were rolls or breads that were made by a bakery in a uniform manner, standard look. And again, we're talking about something that the baker would have realized that it fell because it's quite heavy, the breads, and he would have probably given up hope. You don't have to return it to the baker. Macharoses shel dogim, or if you have fish that are strung on a hook, on a thread. Again, it's not a simon, because all fishermen do that. Vachatichos shel basar, or pieces of meat. All butchers tend to cut meat in a standard way, in a standard weight, apparently. That's not a simon either. Vegizei tzemer habois mimdinosan, or bundles of wool that have been shorn wool, that coming from the country where they shear in there. It had, again, a standard look about them, no particular simon. And it's a pishton. Bundles of flax, olashonas shalagomon, and pieces of wool that were dyed argamon, purple. All these cases hare elashalai. The finder can keep them because there's no simon, and it is assumed that the person would have felt that he's lost them because they're quite heavy, these items, and therefore he would have been miyayish, would have given up hope. And the person who finds them can keep them because it's Hafka. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Others don't have Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Omer. Kol sheyesh bo shinoi. Any time that there's a shin, there's something different about these things, then chayv lachris, then you have to announce it, because maybe the owners would know to be able to give a simon by the change. For example, ketzat. Motz igul v'socha charis. He finds a cake of pressed figs, a round circle of pressed figs. But v'socha charis, and inside it is a broken piece of earthenware, a shard. Or kikor, he finds a loaf of bread of v'socha mois. There's money in it. Now, even though probably these things just fell in there in the baking of it or in the preparation of the figs, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds you've got to announce it. Maybe the owners know about it. And maybe they'll be able to use that identification, which is very unusual, as a simon. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, kol kalei anpurya. Anyone who finds new kalim or new clothes that the owners had not yet used, and they would not be able to recognize it just by putting their eyes on it, einachav lahachris, one is not obligated to announce it. To announce that one has found a kalim. The Gemara explains, Rav Shimon Lazar's chiddush here is as follows. Sometimes we give it back a lost article when we trust the person who says, yep, that's mine. For example, a Talmud Chacham. We believe a Talmud Chacham. He's not going to make a lie. If he comes along and he says, that thing you found, that's mine, we give it to him. Nevertheless, a person who finds kalim, chadoshim, new kalim, where there's no way, even the Talmud Chacham would not have any put his eye on it. So therefore, you definitely don't have to be machris, definitely don't have to announce that. And that is indeed the halacha, is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar.